Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo at Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at www.hbcaz.org. So get ready, find your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, we thank you that it's all for you, Lord. This life is for you. This world is for you. Our hearts are for you. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning that you would help us, Lord, to focus. Holy Spirit, teach us. Lord God, may we see you more clearly. May we know the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. Great to have you all here. Hey, I have a couple of quick announcements for you. First of all, the children's church is going to have Nerf and nachos. Woohoo! Nerf and nachos. Yes, can't go wrong. Those two things together, that's a party. Nerf and nachos this Saturday, April 17th from 1 to 3. So if you have children in children's church, you're going to want to bring them. If you need more information, talk to Christine. This Saturday. Also, Access is back. They're doing the Truth Project Friday the 16th. They're going to kick it back into action. So if you are 18 and up, young adult, you can go to Access. It's just an awesome time in the Truth Project. You can talk to Vanessa. She's in the front row. You're front row! All right. So, also, I'm very excited. This coming Sunday after second service, after this service, we're going to do a new thing called the Secret Place. And we're going to have a little bit of worship and a little bit of prayer and then more worship and then a little more prayer. And we're going to put topics on the screen for you to pray about. We're going to have a separate circle so that you can meet new people, pray real quick, do some more worship. We're going to do that for about an hour. So if you're interested in coming to the Secret Place, it's next Sunday after second service here in the sanctuary. Also, we have a men's retreat. May 20th, 21st, and 22nd, we got Pastor Robert Bijouet. He's going to be teaching again. Listen, I said this on Wednesday. I'll say it right now. Ladies, if you want your man, your husband, your brother, your father to be more godly, send them to a men's retreat. They will come back on fire for God. So encourage them to go. You benefit, right? You get a godlier dude. Now, they have sign-ups in the fellowship hall. They require a $25 deposit, and they'll give you all the information out there. So go sign up today. We're going to be taking sign-ups for the next couple of weeks. Also, I don't know if you know Michael Walters. He was our sound guy, one of our sound people. Well, he passed away this week, and we are having a celebration of life this Friday, April 16th. So if you knew Michael and Renee and the family, just godly, awesome people, you might want to come and help encourage and just share some memories. We're also going to do a potluck afterwards. So that is this Friday at 1 o'clock right here, celebration of life for Michael Walters. Okay. If you would please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. We are looking at the mark of the beast, and we are going to look at the false miracle and the fool's mark. And I've entitled it, The Mark of the Beast, Worship or Die. Now, if you were at Epic, you know that I laid down a challenge. I said, if you are an atheist, you want to come to this service. If you know an atheist, you want to invite them to this service. I'm not going to take the typical route that most do when dealing with the mark of the beast. We're going to go in a little different direction. You're going to see. But if you are an atheist or if you're an agnostic and you're questioning, is there a God? Prayerfully, the Lord will speak to you today in the message. It really spoke to first service, and we had a lot of technical difficulties. So prayerfully, this will be even better. Now, let me pray one more time. Father, speak to us. Holy Spirit, teach us. Challenge us. And Lord, I pray if there is someone riding the fence, if there is someone here today that isn't sure that doesn't know that you are God, may they really be challenged to the core this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Mark of the Beast, we've been looking. We're here in Revelation 13. We've seen the beast rising out of the sea. And we've been looking at also another beast coming up out of the earth. And we've been exploring this unholy trinity. What unholy trinity? The dragon, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And I explained to you how Satan is a copycat. He doesn't have any originality. He copies God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So he has Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. I also told you in chapter 12 and 13 that dragons were real. Why? Because God would not use a fictitious animal in order to describe a reality. That would be silly. That would make God a myth. And you go, well, listen, why don't we have history on dragons? Well, there is. And we see that in Job. You can go look it up yourself. I don't have time to develop that. But also, listen, you've seen or you've read at least about electric eels. That's a fish that produces electricity. And we're going to look at the bombardier beetle that pushes sulfuric acid basically out of its hindquarters. Listen, there can be a dinosaur that would spit fire. I just watched Godzilla versus King Kong. I know it's real. But think about this. Think about an electric eel. Think about the bombardier beetle. Think about, you know, being able to spit fire or do any of these crazy things. Wouldn't some of those attributes be kind of cool to have? In fact, here's what we do. We take and we put those attributes on people fictitiously, and we call them superheroes. And so deep down inside, we go, gosh, that would be neat to have those attributes. Hang that on your belt. We're going to explore that here in a moment. Watch. Verse 13, Revelation 13. And he performed great signs. Who's the he here? The he here is the Antichrist. And you're like, what? He's going to perform great signs? Oh, sure he is. Watch this. So that he even makes fire come down from heaven and on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Now, you might be going, wait, hold on a second. So you're telling me, Pastor Randy, that the Antichrist is going to have the power to do miracles, even bring fire down from heaven? Yeah. Why would God let him do that? Why not? The church is not on earth anymore. Listen, if the people want the Antichrist, and at this time they will, if the people want the Antichrist, why not just let him dazzle them all that he wants? Listen, that's what God does in judgment. When God judges us, he doesn't bring the hammer down. No, he lets you have what you want. That's what hell is. Hell is, I don't want God. Fine, I'll send you where there is no God. Hell. So your own desires become your punishment. So in this case, we have this Antichrist who brings down fire. Now, if you remember back in Revelation chapter 11, verse 5, there were the two witnesses, the witnesses for God. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemy. Wouldn't that be cool? Someone gets in your face, you don't need to be carrying a gun. You just go, and some of you are going, well, my husband already has that, right? Whoo! I call him Godzilla. It's like, no, listen. These prophets evidently have the power to spit fire when someone would come against them. In fact, over in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elisha did the same thing. He called down fire. And then, of course, he kills 450 prophets of Baal. It was awesome. But the problem here is, folks, that people too often seek signs. Listen, I talk to atheists all the time, and some of them will go, well, if God would just show me. What they mean by that is God would show them a sign. I want to tell you, there are signs all around us, and I'm going to show you that here in a moment. But there are signs all around us. The problem is the enemy will also produce signs. I lived in Houston for about 20 years when I got saved, and Texas is the Bible Belt. Houston is the belt buckle. It's there. Literally walk a mile in any direction, you will find a church. So I'm living in Houston, and it rains there all the time. Well, lo and behold, someone's house, it rained, and when the rain stopped, it caused some rust and a stain on their screen door. And it happened when they looked at it, they go, wait, that looks like Jesus. The news went to their house. Hundreds of people were there every day worshiping a screen door. Because it kind of looked like Jesus. How about this? This is true. I'm not making this up. Someone was cooking a tortilla and the burn mark looked like Jesus, and everyone began to worship the holy tortilla. Now put a little carne asada in there and I might worship too. No. Did you know there is a cow? There's a cow with the stain that looks like Mickey Mouse. Listen, just because it has a stain and it kind of looks like what you think Jesus would look like, we're not supposed to worship that. But here's what happened. The enemy will do stuff like that, or sometimes that stuff just naturally happens and our imagination runs away with us. And then what happens? The devil loves it. Why? Because we've taken our eyes off of Jesus and put it on a tortilla. Dangerous, folks. Don't look for a sign. I like what Paul said. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11, actually verse 12 through 21. Not that I have already obtained or already perfected, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as having apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, whether it be a screen door, a tortilla, or a cow, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward for those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal, towards the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. What mind? That we don't need a sign, we need a Savior. We don't need to see wonders and miracles, we just need to fall in love with Jesus. Now, here we have the mark of the beast. We're moving towards the mark of the beast. The people will abandon Scripture because of a sign. Listen, I guarantee you at this time during the tribulation, there are going to be a lot of people going, you know what, I heard about some of this stuff and looking through the Scripture. But then what will happen is Satan, the Antichrist, will do a miracle and people go, forget that. Look at him. Wow. It's important that we look to God. In fact, Jesus said this in Matthew 12, verse 39. He says, but he answered and said to them, an evil An adulterous generation seek after a sign. Brothers and sisters, we shouldn't need a sign. You don't need a sign to believe in Jesus. But nevertheless, I'm going to tell you, God has put signs all around us if we would just open our eyes. But let me warn you also, because I see this happen in churches all the time. Someone will come in claiming to do miracles. And people get all flustered and all worked up over a person working miracles. Listen, don't judge the worker of the miracles by their works. Judge the worker of miracles by their message. Listen, I believe that people can be healed. We've seen it happen. I believe in the gift of tongues, but in an orderly fashion. And I believe in prophecy. I believe that takes place. But I'm not about the signs. I'm about the message. The message should always point to Jesus. If someone ever came into this church and was trying to grab all the attention or bring the attention even on this church isn't the focus. This church is just a building that we meet in. You are the church. The Word of God is the message. Jesus Christ is the one we are to worship, period. Period. And so we have to be careful of signs. It's a Nike shoe. It has a satanic medallion on it. And in the heel, it has human blood. He made 666 shoes and sold them for $1,000. I forget what the dollar amount is from Luke. I saw Satan fall from the sky. And they sold out in 60 seconds. So, hey, here you go. Let's wear shoes with human blood and a satanic emblem, but let's take Dr. Seuss and blackball because that's evil. It gets worse. Little Nas X wrote a children's book. Yep. A hit children's book. Little Nas X, he goes to elementary schools and talks to the kids. His biggest following are those from 10 to about 14, 15. And then his latest music video depicts him making out with a demon. Then he goes and has illicit sex with Satan, gay sex with Satan. And then he snaps Satan's neck and takes Satan's position to reign in hell. He's after our children, after their minds. It's preparation, folks. It's preparation. We're becoming desensitized to evil. Good thing is, we, Christians, will be gone. It's not long before we'll be gone. And by the way, I told you in last Revelation 13, I gave you kind of a synopsis of how I think it's going to go. Not based on Bible, just based on what I see going on in the world. If you want to go back and listen to that, I highly recommend you do that. But people are all flustered over the mark of the beast, right? You ever get a Facebook message or an Instagram message or an email where someone sends you a video and they go, oh, look, the chip, it's the mark of the beast. Or now the vaccine passport is the mark of the beast. It's not the mark of the beast. I don't want the vaccine. I don't want the vaccine. Listen, if you want to get the vaccine, that's great. That's good. Okay. But here's the thing. I don't want the vaccine. It's my body. Shouldn't I have a choice? If I had a baby inside of me, they'd say, yes, you have a choice. Kill that baby. But if I say, no, it's my body. I don't want the vaccine. They go, no, no, you got to get it. See the double standard? But here's the thing. If somebody has the vaccine, why are they upset if I don't? You're safe. You're cured. Ta-da! Miracle, run around. Go lick doorknobs. You're okay. Now, this vaccine passport, it may be setting up. It could be used in the future, the system, to set up the system for when the Antichrist comes. Look, we already have a system in place. Get the mark. You can't go to the game. You can't go to the movies. You can't buy groceries and left you. They can put the system in, but listen, there's a distinct difference between the mark and a chip, the mark and a vaccine. What's the difference? Worship. Worship. It's about worship. The mark of the beast is a matter of worship or die. Look what it says, verse 15. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast would both speak and cause many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now the word here for to give breath, the word is pneuma. Pneuma. We get spirit from that. Pneuma, like a or air, like a pneumatic tire. It's an air tire. It's a pneumatic gun. It runs on air. So we get pneuma, which means a spirit. Now you go, that's weird. So they're gonna put up a statue, and then he's gonna give it breath. Well, many believe that what's going to happen is there's going to be some form of AI, like a robot. And you go, wow, that's crazy. Watch the screens.
In a dimly lit temple, worshippers gather to listen to ancient Buddhist teachings delivered by a robot. The robot introduces itself as the Buddhist goddess of mercy. According to faith, this deity can appear in any form. The robotic preacher is known as Mindar. It's the brainchild of temple steward Tensho Goto, who's hoping to bring worshippers closer to the divine.
Many Buddhist statues have been made, but they were all just Buddhist images, standing or sitting figures. I wanted to create a Buddhist statue which can speak, make eye contact, and answer questions so that people can feel closer to it.
His vision was fulfilled with the help of a robotics team from Osaka University. Mindar's hands and face are made from silicon, enabling the robot to gesture and talk.
We have succeeded in creating a robotic statue that can convey messages to people interactively.
Temple officials say Mindar has proven a hit with the crowds, despite initial skepticism.
I thought it would be a little scary, but then I actually came to see it and found it very beautiful.
The way the android speaks like a real human being made me, personally, feel very close to it.
Tensho Goto hopes Mindar will be the first of many androids to deliver the teachings of Buddhism, the high-tech way.
Robots may in the future be able to do more than what us monks can do.
Enlightenment with a futuristic twist, perhaps coming soon to a temple near you.
It's just preparation, folks. Desensitizing us to receive when the Antichrist puts his statue, that people go, oh yeah, we've already been worshiping robots. We've already been worshiping statues. It's called desensitizing us. And some atheists out there, I've dealt with many atheists, maybe you're an atheist, go, you know what, Pastor, I'm sorry, I'm not going to worship that. I don't worship nothing. I don't believe in that. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. No, I won't. Yes, you will. No, I won't. Yes, you will. Okay, get the idea. Listen, think about this. Think about this. The person who is an atheist, the reason why they're an atheist, it's not for a lack of evidence, because there's ample evidence. They're not looking for the evidence because they want to enjoy their sin. And the reason why you want to enjoy your sin is because you love your life. Now imagine if you are threatened, if your life is threatened. Can you put the picture up? Okay, take a look at that knife. That's it, called a Rambo knife. Because I guess it's what Rambo would use. Do me a favor. Feel your neck. Feel that soft tissue. Feel your esophagus. How, you know, you put a little pressure and you feel that. Now, imagine if they threatened to cut your neck with that knife, but not the sharp end, the serrated edge, to saw it while you're alive. And you get to watch while other people are done, while they are. And then you say, listen, your kids, they can live if you adjust. Take the mark and worship Satan. You will get money, you'll get a home, you'll get food, you'll get everything you need, but you must take the mark and you must bow down. Or we take that serrated edge and we saw through your esophagus while you're alive. Trust me, atheists will give in. Atheists are not as strong as they talk big. It takes a lot of strength to say, I will not deny Jesus Christ. Listen, right now, there are Christians who are having their throats cut. ISIS, when they were cutting Christians' throats, they were using the serrated edge side. That's why I show you that. But those Christians who love Jesus refuse to say, I will denounce Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 says, the coming of the lawless one according to the works of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So on top of that, on top of the fact that he's going to say, I'll give you what you need. You can have a house, you can go shopping, you can go to the movies, you can do whatever you want, but you got to worship me. And I won't kill your kids. I won't kill your wife. I won't kill you. Yes. By the way, who's going to be left? The church is gone. This is in the middle of the tribulation. And now he says, you're going to worship. And he's doing signs and wonders. They're going to go, wow. We've seen the church raptured. That was incredible. We've seen angels coming and going. We've seen fire coming out of people's mouths. We saw the Antichrist get mortally wounded and come back to life. Now he made a robot, and this robot is speaking like a human. More than that, I mean, actually looks human. It has breath, pneuma. So even atheists are going to go, yeah, I'll worship. Atheist, unbeliever, you are worshiping something. And we're going to talk about that a little more here. That's why I call this the fool's mark in verse 16 through 18. He causes all. The word there for all in the Greek is pas. Pas means all. So he says, he causes all. It doesn't say except atheists. It says he causes all, both small and great. Are you small? Are you great? Rich and poor. Are you rich? Are you poor? Are you free or slaved? By the way, you go, I'm free. No, you ain't. You know none of us are free? Go tell your bank you ain't going to pay your rent. Tell your bank you ain't going to pay your car payment. You are a slave to the bank. You are a slave to the government. Both free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Does anyone know what Satan's number is? No, nobody? 666. Only two of you. 666. It's a trick question. Everybody, even atheists know. Even unbelievers know the number 666. I think I told you the other day I went to the store and I bought, I forget what I bought, but it came, the price came to 666. And the gal behind the counter grabbed one of those little penny candies or two pennies. She threw it in, rang it up, and then took coins out of the little dish. Says, I can't ring up that number. I'm like, what are you trying to say? I'm Satan? But this mark, is so that those would worship him. Those who don't worship Satan, you're dead, murdered. And by the way, Satan has a very special set of skills. A set of skills that he's been working on for thousands of years to kill, steal, and destroy. Trust me, Satan has seen some clever ways to murder people to where they will turn against God. He is brutal, he is cruel. That serrated edge is probably one of the nicest ways he could think of killing people. If you go and look at the history of how Christians have been martyred, you'll see that some of them were absolutely horrifically scary. Listen, those who will not worship will be dead. This means that there are, by the way, there are some who are resisting. Small remnant. Those who will take the mark, those who take the mark are saying, I will worship Satan. That's what they're saying, that they will worship him. The mark of the beast, worship or die. Let's look at verse 18. Here is the wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. Now notice it says, if you have wisdom, it's not going to be something where it's the actual numbers. You know, I heard some pastors talk about how this satanic empire comes out of Rome. And they made this point. They said, did you know that in the Roman numerals, there are six Roman numerals, and if you take them up, there, you know, there's the 1, the V, the L, the X, the C, the D. He said, if you add those up, it comes out to 666. And it's six numbers. And I said, oh, that's creepy, except you forgot the M. There's also an M. So anyways, I had you going for a second, huh? Then there's also the applied digital solution. They're developing a product called Digital Angel. How do you like that? Sounds so nice to be put implanted a digital transceiver. Now, this is not the mark of the beast, but I believe it's preparation for the mark of the beast. But the number will be hidden. All we need to know, even though you may not know the... First of all, if you're a believer in Christ today, we won't be here. Yay! But if you're not a believer and you want to fight and you want to wrestle and you want to deny yourself God, you will be here if you don't die during the tribulation from some horrific death. But if you make it this far, you will either take the mark or you will die. You'll either worship Satan or you will die. But listen, we shouldn't worship anything other than God. Now, I need to say this. You know, God has a name. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you go to a church, you go to a meeting, if you're around people and you can't say, I believe in Jesus Christ, then you may not know the Jesus Christ I know. Because once you know Jesus Christ, you cannot be ashamed of him. You are not ashamed of him. You are proud to be called a child of God. He's not a higher power. He's not a force. He's not a feeling. He's a loving, living God, and he's in love with you. So the mark of the beast, it's not about the mark. It's not about the Antichrist. It's about your allegiance. It's about your soul. It's about your worship. That's what he wants. Remember, Satan said, I will be like the Most High God. What he wants is he wants people to worship him as if he were God. That's what he wants from you and I. And here's the thing. As long as we are not worshiping Jesus, we are worshiping anything else, he's happy. Go ahead, worship the tortilla. Just don't worship Jesus. Now, if you're in earshot of me online, in the room, if you refuse to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, if you survive this far into the tribulation, you will worship Satan or you will die. Why not? Here you go. Why not worship the one who wants to give you life and blessings? How stupid is that? To say, nope, I'd rather be tortured and I'd rather worship Satan and go to hell. How stupid is that? But you know why? Here you go. Ready for this? You know why an atheist will stay an atheist? One of the biggest lies that they've swallowed, evolution. Now, remember I said I want to talk about the bombardier beetle? Can we put up the picture? You know this little guy? It's a little bug that has a lot of power. A lot of power. 500 pulses per second at 212 degrees comes out of his butt. Watch this video.
But the master of chemical warfare is the bombardier beetle. It can create a chemical reaction within its body so violent that boiling caustic liquid explodes out of its abdomen. By pulsing the jet 500 times a second, it keeps its rear end just cool enough to prevent it being cooked.
The bombardier beetle is one of nature's most improbable creatures. For some, it throws a monkey wrench into the whole idea of evolution. This beetle is a walking powder keg. That cloud you see is the result of a lightning-fast chemical reaction inside his body. When When attacked, the beetle sets off the explosion, releasing a boiling, hot, stinging poison that sends his enemies running. He can even aim it. This potent mixture inside the beetle is made up of three main ingredients. Mix the first two of them together and nothing happens, but throw in the third and boom! So the beetle has a trick. He keeps these ingredients separate inside his body. From an evolutionary standpoint, that's what's interesting. In fact, people have been scratching their heads over this for decades. How did this complex system evolve over time?
That wasn't completely accurate. So you got 500 pulses per second. Think about that. 500 pulses per second, 212 degrees. You have the hydroquinones, and you have hydroxy peroxide, and then you have these oxidative enzymes. But there's four chemicals. So you have the and then the hydrogen peroxide. These two mix together cause an explosion. Okay, so it's inside of the belly. The beetle does not want his butt to explode. Neither would you. Okay. So what he has is he has a chemical inhibitor, a third chemical, that if when these two come together with that third chemical, it will not explode. But then what he has a fourth enzyme, a fourth chemical that neutralizes the third chemical in the split second that he's releasing it, which allows these chemicals to explode. So you got four. You have two that mix together, they would explode, but he's got a neutralizer that keeps them from exploding, and then he's got a third one that neutralizes the neutralizer that allows it to explode. Excuse me, how did that evolve? You have now, did you notice this as well? When he's shooting his spray, he fried the ant dead. Yet it sprayed on his face and on his arms and didn't harm him. Now listen, when you and I, if we were to do an experiment and the experiment fails, that's a disaster. That would be a disaster. So if you had bombardier beetles that it didn't work, you would have no bombardier beetle at all. It would have to be created with the exoskeleton that could handle this, with the enzymes and the chemicals to mix at just the right time, all at once. That cannot evolve. Besides that, think about this. How? What did the bug say? You know, if I could just shoot fire out of my butt, my life would be a lot easier. No, what they say is, here you go, natural selection. Wait. Natural selection? Something decided? Oh, so I get it. As long as you call it Mother Nature or natural selection, just so long as you don't call it God, Creator, Jesus. See how stupid that is? This is an incredible... And by the way, this did not evolve. And if that wasn't convincing enough for you, can we go a little further? Show the next picture. Look at that. The human eye. Here's what scientists say. Scientists say that the eye began as a freckle on a lizard's skin. Some of you have freckles. Are you looking at me now? Listen, how stupid is that? Look, here you go. If it's natural selection, wouldn't it be nice when you got home from the grocery store to have an extra set of arms? Wouldn't it be nice to not have to wait, take off your shoes and wait in a long line at the airport and just fly to L.A.? Oh, I see natural selection. How in the world did we come up with an eye? You know what the eye is? An eye is a camera that gives vision to the brain. But really what the eye is, it's just simply a lens. That's all it is. Simply a lens. No. Self-cleaning, self-repairing, self-lubricating lens. See, our body has amino acids. There happen to be two amino acids that are crystal clear. arginine and arbutin. These two amino acids happen to be inside your eye, and they happen to be clear. Imagine if they weren't clear. You would see nothing. They're found in the pupil. Then we have collagen. We have skin. We have skin all over our body, except our skin decided to open a hole where this clear lens is so that we could see with our brain. It just happened to do that, and it shuts, and it cleans. Oh, yeah, and it left a little bit of hair on there to keep some of the particles from getting in there. Just, you know, the skin just figured it out. The eyeball has muscles. You have lateral and intral recta that allow your eyes to see from side to side. You have superior and inferior recta, which allow you to look up and down. And then you have oblique recta. You know what that is? If I take a camera and I tilt it like this, the whole room looks like it tilts. But if you take your head and do that, you realize the room stays still, but your head, that's a muscle. That just happened. Then the lens receives radio waves. Long frequency radio waves, high frequency radio waves, and low frequency radio waves into the eye. And then they splash on the back into your brain into a liquid chemical that deciphers what the eyeball is seeing. And that just happened. How did a human organism know that there was such a thing as sight? Your retina is made up of 100 million rods for seeing in the dark, and 10 million cones for seeing in the light. First of all, I wonder who counted them. 1, 2, 3. Oh, man, I messed up. Let me start again. So 100 million rods and 100 million. When you go into a movie theater, the 100 million rods kick in, and pretty soon they make adjustments, and now you can see. You can see your popcorn. You can see your hands. You can see around. But when you first came in, you couldn't. There was an adjustment. Your eye was doing that. Then you go outside and the 10 million cones go, whoa, too much, man. In fact, listen, there is every 2,000th of a second, every 2,000th of a second, the 100 million rods and the 10 million cones are sending billions of bits of information to your brain. That just happened by chance? You ever go on vacation and you got this big expensive camera and you take a shot and then you get home and look at the shot and it's like, that's beautiful, but man, it doesn't capture the grandeur. Your eye is more complex than the most complex camera because it takes that image, those 100 million rods and those 10 million cones, and it puts it into the chemical screen of your brain, and your brain collects the information. I can be praying at home with my eyes closed and I can picture your faces because there is a file in that chemical ooze that scientists don't know how did that happen through a lens that came from a freckle. Please, atheist, please get out of here with that garbage. You can't tell me where the bombardier beetle came from. You can't tell me how an eye, do you realize that Darwin struggled with the complexity of the eye, and he didn't even know as much as we know now. So I've given you bombardier beetle, and I'm giving you the eye. Can we go a little further? You mind if I go further? You want to go home?
No.
Okay. Let's go smaller. Watch.
And what biologists, molecular biologists, cell biologists, microbiologists have been discovering is that at the level of individual cells, there are little tiny examples of nanotechnology, little tiny machines at work. The flagellar motor is the one that Behe made most famous. It's a rotary engine that powers a whip-like tail, a protein tail that functions like a propeller, and it moves the bacterium through liquid, enabling the bacterium to essentially track down its food supply. And this little machine includes a rotor, a stator, a drive shaft, a U-joint, bushings, bearings, and a whip-like tail that functions like a propeller. And the machine in some bacterial systems turns at 100,000 RPMs in one direction and can reverse direction on a quarter of a turn and turn 100,000 RPM in the other direction.
Bacterial flagellum is a true nanomachine.
about 40 nanometers in size. It's amazing. I mean, E. coli, Salmonella, which are kind of our model systems for the bacterial flagellum, can propel a cell about 20 lengths per second through a very viscous medium, like water, to these organisms. And you extrapolate that to human scale. 20 body lengths per second, 6 foot person, you know, times 20, 120 feet per second. Mark Spitz or Phelps would be setting records with this type of propulsion.
It's hardwired into a signal transduction circuit that allows the bacterium to sense changes in the sugar gradient in the surrounding liquid. It's an extraordinary piece of nanotechnology. It's high tech in low life. And so just by spotlighting these extraordinary pieces of nanotechnology inside cells, and the flagellar motor wasn't the only one by any means, Behe, in a sense, opened up a window for people. He opened up the black box of the inner workings of the cell and said, look, this is much more complex than anything that the early evolutionary biologists had envisioned. Darwin knew nothing of this type of nanotechnology in cells, and at the very least, we've got to come up with an explanation for this.
I got an explanation. God did it. Listen, if I brought a Dodge Hemi engine with pistons and a drive shaft, and I said, let me tell you, over millions of years, you know, the sand, and it brought metals together. And by the way, if you put gasoline and start it up, you can go 200 miles an hour down the road. But it happened by chance. You'd laugh at me. Listen, that's just, do me a favor, if you want. Do your own homework. Go look at how a DNA strand works. It looks like a factory. Old pieces are moving, new pieces come in, and they fit perfectly. There's little machines moving them around. They know when to move them. They know where to put them. It's amazing. But yet, you're going to tell me that happened. All that happened by chance. Now, listen, I'm just giving you a little bit. There are way more. There are thousands of species of animals that would blow your mind if we sat here and talked about them. Can I go one more layer deeper? Okay. The DNA. Our DNA chain contains four nucleotide base pairs. There's these nucleotide base pairs. There's four of them. Adenine, guanine, thymine, and cytosine. Now, these four pairs are united in the DNA strand by what's called a sulfuric bridge. This sulfuric bridge holds the whole DNA strand together. And you go, great, Randy, yay. No, listen. This sulfuric bridge happens in a sequence. Every 10 acids, every 5 acids, nucleic acids, every 6 nucleic acids, and every 5 nucleic acids. It's in that pattern over and over again. So it goes 10 nucleic acids, then 5 nucleic acids, then 6 nucleic acids, and 5, and then it repeats itself again. You got that? So it's 10, 5, 6, 5. Well, if you look at the Hebrew alphabet, if we can put that photo up, this is a Hebrew alphabet. And what they've done over thousands of years ago, before we knew any about this, about the DNA, they attributed a numerical value to each letter. Well, if you look at number 10, number 5, number 6, and number 5, you get the next picture. Yahweh. YHWH. Yav, Hev, Vav, He. God's name is in your DNA over and over and over again. His name. He's the artist. He created you. He put his signature in your DNA to say he loves you. You belong to him. Why in the world would an atheist turn away from that? And I'll tell you why the atheist does. Because they love their sin. Well, your sin can send you to hell. Or you can say, God, I don't want to die. I don't want to worship Satan anymore. I don't want to worship my sin anymore. I believe you're real. And folks, I'm just barely scratching the surface. I didn't even go into the cosmos. I didn't even go into the ocean. I'm just giving you some examples. Here's what God's word says about this. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, it's in you, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, they're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, exchanging the glory of incorruptible God into an image made in the likeness of corruptible man. We evolved monkeys, birds, four-footed animals, creepy things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, who worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Darwin said this. He said, if my theory is correct, you should find thousands of transitional forms within the fossil record. He said, if you do not find thousands of transitional forms, then throw this theory out. To this day, it's called the missing link, and yet scientists refuse to let it go. Why? Because they love their sin more than they love God. They'd rather do their thing rather than follow his way. Satan wants to kill you. God wants to give you life. It's a no-brainer, unless you're a no-brainer. And I pray today you wise up and fess up and come up and accept Jesus. How about that? Have the worship team come up. I need about five more of these sermons to give more information, but we're going to stop here. Listen, here's the thing, folks. God is real. He's real loving. He's real caring. He's a real creator. And he's really, really, really in love with you, and he really wants you to come, and he'll free you from your sin. He'll give you new life. He will make you a new creature in Christ, and it will be the best decision you've ever made in your life. Or you can walk out and say, I'll do it tomorrow. There may not be a chance tomorrow. So what I'm going to say is, if you need to come up and get prayer, there's the deacon's pastor up here. You can come up at any time and just say, I need to surrender to Jesus. I need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because the alternative is horrific. The alternative is far too horrific. There's more than enough proof. So why not surrender today? The Bible says that when one person surrenders, all of heaven rejoices. So won't you search your heart? Don't be religious. Have a relationship. Don't know of God. Let him get to know you and know each other and have that give and take. It's beautiful. Father God, I thank you for this time in your word. I thank you that we can all examine our heart. Thank you that your word cuts to the truth, to the quick. And Father God, thank you that we can reason together from science, from life, from breath, from your word, and see that you are real, you are true. You're alive, and you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, sing one last song. If you need prayer, please come forward.